He introduced me as Dr. Hoyt Lovelace. That is true, but if I catch you saying that, you'll be in trouble. My students call me Doctor. Most people know me as Chloe's dad, or Ariel's dad, or Shiloh's dad, or Hannah's dad, or Kim's husband. One of those, if you forget the name, you can say, hey. Hoyt is an odd name. My parents don't even know what it means. They didn't even know why they named me that. My father thought I was going to be Zach. They gave the piece of paper to my mother. She wrote Hoyt. Everybody was surprised. So if you forget my name, it's okay. It's not a big deal. You may hear a little bit of Southern Wisconsin drawl. That's because I'm from Monroe. we have traveled quite a bit. I'm originally from Arkansas. I've traveled around a lot, probably a lot too much. My five-year-old has lived in five different towns, two different countries. Each child has been born in a different location. My second child was born in Japan. So we've traveled around a little bit, but it's all been fun, seeing the outside world. I've tried to lose a little bit of my Southern drawl, but the iced tea follows me around. So there's one thing I'm trying to teach people in Monroe. Yes, we have cheese. Yes, the brats are great, but where is my sweet tea? That's what I want to know. I look forward to getting to know you, getting to meet you, starting relationships with you. I tend to be gregarious, fun-loving, basically because God is a great God, and He's blessed us in so many ways that I can't keep my joy within. I tell people, when you share the gospel, all you're doing is sharing truth with joy. That's what it's all about. There's no reason to be upset about anything, because we know the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I'm a child of the King. How much better does it get, you know? So I look forward to getting to meet you. I was here one other time. I snuck in and sat back there just to watch you and to see who you are and to try to read you. My PhD is in anthropology and global studies missions with some other minors that are unnecessary. But I love watching people, and y'all are a blessed group of people. I'm very impressed with y'all. Very happy to stand in front of you. We'll get to some more pleasantries later, and hopefully as we talk through God's word, you'll learn a little bit more about me. I'll be watching you to see how you respond. If you fall asleep, I may come and sit down with you and take a nap. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning because my mother-in-law had to catch a plane out of Madison. I had to drop her off at 4:45, so I've been up for a while. So hopefully I don't fall asleep with you as we go through this passage. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 17. You will note that there's going to be nothing behind me. I wasn't sure how to prepare for your PowerPoint and all that other stuff. But this way we can sort of watch each other instead of you being caught up with over PowerPoint analysis. So anyway, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 17. I want us to go through verses 1 through 8. That's where we're going to rest. I'm going to read out of the ESV, whatever version you have. You may see some differences, but I'm going to read through the ESV. Here's what God says in His Word, starting in Matthew 17, verse 1. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John, His brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as light. And behold," let me put in a different word here because it's better translated as wow. Okay, so let me put that one in there for you. "And wow, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I'll make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, wow, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise, have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus himself alone." Let's pray. God, you're an almighty, wonderful God, who for some reason has loved us. And for some reason you've entrusted me with your word on this morning. God, I'm unworthy to hold your word, much less proclaim it. But you have said that I am worthy, and so therefore I take this mantle up gladly. God, I give you my mouth. I pray that you'll take my words and proclaim your words from my mouth, that you'll take my mind, take my thoughts out, and that you would fill my mind with your thoughts, that you'll take our ears so that we only hear you speaking, and that you will make our hearts ready to receive what you have to say to us. God, we are your people. This is your word. We depend upon your message. Thank you so much, God, for being with us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this passage is a mountaintop experience. You know, we talk about mountaintop experiences because, you know, they're cool. It's fun to be able to say, hey, I went to the mountain. You know, we moved here from Denver, Colorado. So whenever we moved here, my oldest daughter was like, where are we going to go skiing, Daddy? I said, well, they have mountains here. She went. I said, well, they have something. You know, they have hills with snow on it. Will that suffice for now? And she was like, yeah, okay. I tried to convince her cross-country skiing was skiing, but she hasn't quite caught on to the Wisconsin thing yet for cross-country. We're praying for her on that. But, you know, mountaintop experiences are fun. You know, you go to the mountain and you have this clean, brisk air and, you know, everything seems clean and you have a view of everything. You think you can see everything, right? Mountaintop experience spiritually is the same way. Clean, fresh, brisk air. That's where they were. They could see everything. That's where God took them. Now, I'm going to go through this passage for a couple of different reasons. One, it's, you know, it's a powerful passage. It's not a surprise. You know, most of you probably have read this passage before. This passage specifically has altered the course of my life. Sort of as an introduction, I want to sort of take you where it has taken me. And I want to challenge you. I was introduced as a church planter, pastor, that type of thing. I am. My family, this will be the seventh church that my family has been blessed to plant. We started 3 weeks ago down in Monroe. We've, through our organization, we've seen around 300 or 400 churches planted in the last 4 years. So I love what God has done for us and with us. I'm a recruiter. I see a vision, and I try to encourage people. I'm nothing. I don't have anything to offer you except for the vision that God has given me of his glory. That's where I want to take you today. If you'll come with me, that's where I want to take you. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start verse 1. Now it starts with this phrase, after 3 days. After 6 days. Now, 6 days after what? Well, it's imperative that you know what the 6 days is. And I'm a walker. You know, as a church planner, I don't have a podium, so I hope you don't mind. I like to sort of get around you, and it keeps you awake, too. So, after 6 days. 6 days after what, right? 6 days after something important happened. Well, what happened? If you go back, you see that he took his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. Only 12 of them. We know that there were 150 or so that followed. There were 70 that he entrusted the gospel with, but 12 of them went to Caesarea Philippi, right? Something important happened there. Peter proclaimed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Big news, because it's the first proclamation of the gospel that we see in the Gospels. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus blesses him and says, Simon, you did not come up with that yourself. My Father gave that to you. And that's where we need to be, understanding that we can't come up with stuff out of here. God is the one that has to impress us with his knowledge. He says, you're right. That's the gospel. Now then, Simon puts his foot in his mouth like Simon typically does, which is a picture of us, right? You know, God, Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross and the grave. And Jesus from one moment says, you're great. My Father has blessed you. And then he says, and by the way, you're also the demon. You're the devil from the depths. But something important happened in Caesarea Philippi, and that was that only 12 went with him. He had these 12 guys that followed him to Caesarea Philippi. Now something else happened 6 days later. There's a culling effect. There's a cutting effect. He says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Question, that's three. There were 12. What are the other 9 doing? Why did Jesus pick 3? Why? You know, you can get theological, you can look through the books of the gospel and say, well, these three were the most important three. I don't know if they're the most important three. I mean, you know, Matthew did some pretty spectacular things later on. You know, we have Thomas that goes most likely to India. You know, you have these guys that spread out everywhere. I don't know if these three were the most important. They are the most written about. I think what happened here is these were the three that were most sold out. Peter, his brothers left behind, James and John. He picked three. Here's my question. Here's what happened to me. Well, let me start here. Most people play football, basketball, baseball, some sort of sport here. What's the prevalent sport up here? Broomball. Let's do broomball, right? Broomball. It's almost season, so let's talk about broomball. How many people play broomball? How many on the team? Four, five on the team? Five, okay. See, I thought there were only four, but five. We don't play much broomball where I'm from. So broomball, five. There are 11 people playing a pickup game of broomball. You already know what's going to happen here, right? Captain and captain. I'm a captain, you're a captain. I say, well, I want him. You say, well, I want him. I say, well, I want her. You want her. We get down. We're down to the last three people. And I'm sitting on the bench still waiting to be picked, or you're still waiting to be picked. What are you doing? You don't want to be left out. You want to play the game. Why? Because it's shameful to be left behind. You don't want to be sitting on the bench watching the other 10 play. Plus, why else did I dress up and come out to play broom ball if I didn't want to play the game? I want to play the game. But see, the person that's the captain knows how you play. Now, I was a baseball player in college. I've coached baseball. We coached a traveling team. And I liked people that were good. But I also wanted them to have passion because I don't do quitters. I just don't. I don't do quitters. If you're talented but you're going to stop on me, I'll pass you over so that I can get someone with passion. Peter, he probably was not the most astute of the disciples, but he had passion. He was not going to quit. Here's what I think happened with Jesus. He said, I want him, him, and him. Why? Because they lived a life that cried out, pick me! Pick me! That's my heart cry to God. Whenever he says, I'm going to pick a team, I'm just sitting there going, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. I don't care what you do, just pick me. I want to play. I want to be put in the field. I want to be used. I don't care what I do. I mean, as a church planter, I am the pastor. I'm the guitar player. I'm the lead singer. I'm the guy that puts out the chairs. I'm the guy that sweeps up. Whenever my child probably spills something, I'm the one that cleans it later. I don't care which one of those jobs I get to do as long as he picks me to do something. I don't want to be left on the bench. God anoints his people to be blessed in his work, not in the things that we want to do. In his work, God, please don't leave me on the bench. I want to be where you are working. That's where I want to be. Question, will you live a life that screams to God, pick me. Pick me. Will you? Not say it. Who cares about what you say, right? Does your heart, do your actions, do your hands, do your feet, do they scream, pick me, oh God. Pick me. I can't live if I don't play on your team. Would he pick you? Now, it's not a curse if you're not picked. Those other nine guys, they didn't get to go. They didn't get picked. They lived a great life. They were fundamental in the foundation of, well, all but one, fundamental in the foundation of the gospel and the church, the foundational pillars of Jerusalem that we'll see whenever we die and, you know, after the 1,000 years, all blah, blah, blah. They're foundational. They were great men, but they didn't get picked to see God's glory. That's what I'm talking about. See, you can live a wonderful little Christian life and not see God's glory. I've seen it. I want to see it again, and I want to live in it. I want to invite you to be in that same spot. Do you want to see God's glory? Then he must pick you, because you're not going to see it by yourself. And we see that in the very next passage. He says, he took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Nobody else went with them, and they were led. You want to see God's glory? Live a life so that he'll pick you. That's number one. Number two, allow yourself to be led. Allow yourself to be led. Why? Because they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know. They didn't have an idea at all where they were going. They had to be led. Campers, any campers here? Somebody went camping this weekend, I heard, right? Okay, campers. Okay, good. All right, one person has a flashlight. There's four people walking. Who do you not get in front of? The guy, right? Y'all are laughing. Y'all have had this problem, right? Okay, so which one? That one? She had the flashlight. Who got in front?
It was flickering.
It was flickering, okay. So who ate the tree? It was where? No. And is it summer, winter?
Summer.
Summer. Well, at least that's the blessing. You didn't fall in a hole. Who ate the tree? That's what I want to know. Who got hit by the tree? You don't get in front of the flashlight, right? If the flashlight's going out, you need a different flashlight. But you don't get in front of the person with the flashlight. Because you're going to run into a tree, something bad's going to happen, right? You just don't get in front of the flashlight. You have to be led. Don't get in front of the light. Jesus is our light. So here's the problem we have. We say we're taking Jesus somewhere. Well, the gospel needs to go to the neighborhood. I'm going to take Jesus to the neighborhood. You sat, unfortunately, in a very bad position here in the front row. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. Here, let me help you out with what's going to happen here, all right? Let me put that here. Let me have your hand. All right, so you are a wonderful believer, and I am not Jesus. However, I'm going to act like Jesus. All right, and you're going to follow me. Okay, because you want to follow Jesus. Don't get in front of the light, right? So we follow. And obviously, I'm going to the back of the building, right? So you just go ahead and start walking because you know where I'm going. So go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. And all of a sudden, she's just taking a nice little walk. She's not following anymore into a tree, right? She follows and goes into a tree. And you say, well, wait a second. And I'm like, sorry. Come on. Come with me. Come on. And so we start walking again. And she, again, you think you know where Jesus is taking you, right? And so, we're going to go back up to the front. And, of course, it happens again. And Jesus stops and talks, and you go on. So that's sort of the way that it works sometimes with us in our Christian walk. We know where Jesus has taken us. This is the path of my life. And we start walking, and all of a sudden, instead of following Jesus, we start leading Jesus, and it breaks down. We get in front of the light, we hit a tree, we fall into a ditch. Something happens, and we wonder, well, where's Jesus? Well, he stopped back there, and you stopped following. These guys, after they were picked, they had to yield themselves to being led. So many times we think we're engrossed in God's Word and we understand what He's doing. And I fall prey to this as well. And I say, this is where God's taking me. And I get in front of Him. Don't do it. If you want to see His glory, you have to stay with Him. Be picked. Be led. Because if that happens, we see in the next verse, it says, and he transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. They were picked. They were led. And then they saw Jesus transfigured. And what does that mean? It means his whole body changed. Completely different. What does that mean? Well, they were shocked. See, they were walking with this flesh and blood Jesus. Now, sure, he could do dinner theater, right? He could feed them and give them a show. That's what a lot of people followed him for, the fish and chips. So he could do all that, and that's what they did. Now, he could heal. That's some crazy stuff, giving someone who'd been blind from birth sight, someone who'd never walked, he could make them walk. Some incredible physical things that they'd seen. Great man of God, the Messiah, 3 days previous. You're the Christ, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, in flesh Jesus. And then all of a sudden this happens. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothing was white as light. They couldn't see anything. They were shocked, totally awestruck by this Jesus, who they did not know until that moment. Why? Because everything they thought they knew about him changed. Sometimes when we hold on to this Jesus that we know as a physical healer, as someone who provides, Yahweh Yireh, the one who, the God who provides for us, the one who heals us, Yahweh Rapha, this great, incredible God that does things for us. We get so wrapped into that. We put him in a building And so we encapture the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to have our eyes stripped so that we can see Him transfigured. Now, yes, okay, yes, He was a healer. He was Jesus for 33 years. 33 years minus one, who, what was He? God Almighty. 33 days plus one, God Almighty. Don't let yourself be locked up in the physical attributes and the physical benefits that we receive from Christendom and from the church, because God has so much more. See, unlock your mind so that God can heal you, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, ethically for some people, morally, whatever it is that may be hurting within you. God has so much more to offer than what we ever tap into physically. There's so much more than just this. Do you hurt? Yes, you hurt. Or do you get sick? Yes, you get sick. But what about your heart? What about your spirit? God says that His word is so sharp. He can cut, He can divide your spirit and your soul so that He can heal, He can cut out whatever is bad and heal what's really hurting within you. Everything that you could possibly need can be seen within Jesus, not just finances or house. Those are important things. Marriage is, yes, important. Health, important. He's got so much more to offer. Don't lock Him and restrain Him into just healing you. If you're blind, don't lock Him into just being the one who can give you sight. Great thing. Something we haven't seen. But He's got so much more. He's got so much more. Allow His glory to be revealed to you by saying, God, transform who I think You are and show me something greater. You know, we sing songs, you know, about glory and Almighty, but about His angels singing holy, holy, holy to Him. But can you get yourself there? You know, those angels that sing holy, 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 how long have they been there? Pretty long time, right? Yeah. They've been there a long time. Every second, clicking off, holy, 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 every second, clicking it off. Why? Do you not get bored? I love a good rainbow. I love a pretty sunset. You know, the majesty of a mountain. You know, I love my wife. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that in that order. Let me back up. There's some things that we love, but I mean, this is why you'll see why I said shouldn't have said that. Sometimes you get bored with even the most beautiful thing. It's like, okay, next mountain, next flowing stream, next spring. Yeah, that's beautiful. We lived in Colorado. It took us about a year to say, yeah, those are the Rockies. And when we got out of there, it's like, wow, look at that. I'm still mystified by how green everything is in Greene County and how all the corn. I'm mystified by that. But I'm sure after a while, it'd just be another stalk of corn. That'd be another Swiss cow. That's another chunk of cheese, you know. Right now, I'm mystified by it, but eventually those things are going to wear off. Can you imagine for all eternity being an angel and having to shout holy? Holy, 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 holy. When is my shift up? Good night. No, these angels have been there for eternity, and every second they see something else glorious about God that they've never seen before. And it brings them to the point that they shout, holy, holy, with all that's within them, something new that they hadn't seen in all of eternity, and they're still seeing something that's holy. And we want to get bored sitting in church. Allow yourself to be transfigured and transformed so that every time you even think about the holiness of God, you shudder with His glory. That's where He wants to take you. Do you want to see His glory? Live a life that says, I want to be picked. Allow yourself to be led. He'll reveal your glory, His glory. But, right, there's got to be a but here. But, Peter opens his mouth. Ruins it for James and John, I'm sure. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. There's a duh moment, right? If you wish, I will make three tents here. There's the first building project. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Why he thought they were all equal, I don't know. Now, is that a good thing to build those tents? Well, I'm a church planter. Of course, I'm going to say it's a good thing to start new churches, right? At that moment, it was not a good thing. Again, he got in front of Jesus. So what happens?
At that moment, he was still speaking, then behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them.
If you want to see God's glory, if you allow yourself to be led, if you live a life that is holy, indicative of the holiness that he would give you, if you want to allow yourself to be transfigured, or your vision of him to be transfigured, let me tell you something that's going to happen. Your life is going to be overshadowed. What happened to my life? One of the things that happened to my life. God was gracious enough to overshadow my life. See, a lot of us put a lot of time and investment into who we are. You know, you have a business card and it says who you are. You know, what's your position? What do you do? You know, whenever people ask me what I do, I make up a lot of different things because I still do a lot of things. So depending upon whom I happen to be speaking to, I can be, you know, I'm a homeschool stay-at-home dad. I can be the owner of a real estate company. I can be the owner of a nonprofit, or I can be a church planner. I can be a pastor. Whatever it is, all those are true. I just pull out, you know, one of them. That's who I am, right? Back years ago, I graduated with a chemical engineering degree, so I'm an engineering geek. I actually have the pocket protector still. So I use an abacus, all those things, tell jokes about Schrodinger's equation, which I know there's at least one engineer. I don't know however many there are, but there's, you know, there's some geeky jokes that I still do. Graduated chemical engineering degree, didn't like the field, decided, well, I worked my way through school with restaurants, so I figured I'd start one. Did really well. By the time I was 25, 26-ish, I had like seven restaurants, another two or three auxiliary businesses that went along with it. Way more money than what a guy should have. Just living a stupid, crazy life, and you know, just fly. I had a plane, so we'd fly some friends to go and eat dinner in Chicago. You know, just to fly. You know, just to do something. I had built an incredible ladder to success. The problem is I had rested my ladder on the wrong wall. I found that I had the wrong ladder. Now, I had been saved whenever I was 9 years old. Still had a relationship with God during that whole time, except for it was a very punitive relationship where I was the one punishing God. I had a very in-your-face type of attitude towards God that I didn't need him. I had all this stuff. I mean, really, give me this day my daily bread. I've got seven restaurants. I don't need your bread. You know? Those are some of the things I actually physically said. It's amazing that in a thunderstorm I didn't get hit multiple times. But he had a plan for me. And one night he showed me what it was missing. Because no matter, and I have to thank Bill Gates for this, no matter how much I had, I was never going to reach his glory. Bill Gates had an interview around this time in my life, and he was asked, how much money is enough money? This was when he was still number one on the wealth scale. He said, one more dollar. One more. And I realized that was me. It's never going to be enough. How much do you want? Well, that's not enough. And I realized I'd gotten to a point in my life where I did not need God. I didn't need him. I mean, what could I not buy? I mean, really? And I prayed, God, take me to the place where I need you again. Dangerous prayer. He overshadowed my life the next day. Be prepared if you want to be used of God, if you say, I want to play the way that he would pick me, I'm going to allow you to lead me. I want my understanding of you to be transfigured. He very well may overshadow you to where you find that you're on the wrong ladder. He may want to put you on a different ladder of success. Be prepared. Then it says, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter is speaking. He got an almighty shut up, is what he got. He got interrupted in a major way. He's talking. God, let me do something great for you. Let me build you three churches. Peter! This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Stop listening to yourself. Peter, I'm interrupting your life. Your life, if you put your life on the line, say, I want to live a transformed life. I want to follow him. I want to see God's glory. Be ready because he will overshadow your present life and he very well may interrupt you. I know a lot of guys who didn't think they were called to pastor, much less church plant. and they were on the path to a certain way, to a certain place. They thought they were being called to pastor. Oh, good, at least I get to stay somewhere. No, I'm interrupting your life. You said you wanted me. You said you wanted me. That's what happened in my life. I was, after God showed me that I needed Him again, He changed some things in my business structure. Actually, a partner of mine stole a little over $1 million, which it's hard to say this, and this is 20 years ago, so that's back when $1 million actually meant something. But it really didn't matter that much. I mean, $1 million was, I mean, it hurt, but I was thinking, well, I mean, he fled the country. I'm thinking, man, that's pretty awesome. I don't have another guy to share it with. And so it wasn't really that much of a strain on the business. However, we're sitting around in my offices and attorneys and accountants and all that stuff, and they were saying, well, we can reconfigure this, we can restructure this, da 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 da. And God impressed on my mind, He said, I thought you said you wanted me. And I just started laughing because I realized what He was doing. This wasn't a curse, this was an answer to my prayer 2 nights ahead of time. God had been so gracious. See, He was going to do all that stuff to me. And there was more stuff to come. But He allowed me to pray a prayer that said, I'm including you. I'm going to let you play my team. Do you want to come? And then He reminded me, I thought you said you wanted me. And I did. And I started laughing. And I said, sell them all. And they said, what are you talking about? What do you mean sell them all? You're not going to get anything because it's all over the news. This guy's stolen all this money. And people are going to think you have financial problems. And so you're not going to get anything out of the restaurants. And da 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 da. I said, sell them all. I said, but why? You won't understand if I tell you. They said, please tell us. And so I told them. You know, out of that group, and this may be a miracle. I think it may be because I have attorneys and accountants. Three of them got saved, and one of them's a church planner now. How's that for a group of accountants and attorneys? In a meeting where you're getting rid of your cash cow. God was working, and He said, I thought you said you wanted me. He's going to interrupt your life. If you say, I want to follow, I will play as hard as I can with all the passion that's within me to chase after you. If He then picks you, be ready to have your life overshadowed, your success ladder may be moved, your life interrupted, He may take you somewhere. But then, look what happens. He says, this voice comes out of heaven, right? The disciples, when they heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. I bet they were. But, all right, so they fell on their faces as they were terrified. You talk about being scared. Put your life in the hands of someone else, Jesus. Allow Him to wreck your life, as society may look at it, as He overshadows you. Move you around. I've moved 5 times the last 5 years. I mean, that's a big interruption in our lives, but it's beautiful. Allow Him to interrupt your life. Yes, He takes you to some pretty fearful places. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? What am I doing in this new culture? You know, you could be afraid. I've met people in different, really different cultures that are dangerous cultures, and when they've been called to Christ, it is truly fear because they have a culture that hates Christians. This says, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. If God picks you and if He changes you and if He overshadows your life, if He interrupts what you're doing, you're going to have moments of fear. Some of them true fear. Some of those moments may be unease or a lack of knowledge of what's going on. But here is where Jesus really helps us. They fell on their faces and they were terrified. But Jesus came to them and He touched them. And He said, rise, do not fear. If you're on your face and you're terrified, what could be better than Jesus Himself approaching you? See, if He's investing Himself in you to such a point, if He's investing Himself into you that much, if you're in fear, that's not where He wants you. He doesn't want you on the ground. He wants you with Him walking. Yes, worship. but then let's go and let's share joy and let's share truth. He doesn't want you petrified. He doesn't want you in fear. How many times does he say, don't fear in the Gospels? I mean, good night. The angels say, fear not. Jesus says, fear. Everybody says, fear not. Why? Because he doesn't want you petrified. Why in the world would you be in fear? God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of victory. Walk in victory, not in fear. Jesus comes to you in your moment of fear, and he touches you. When does he approach you? But he touches you. He manifests himself in a physical way to give you strength. Do you want that? It starts way back to the part where you live a life that shouts to God, I want him or I want her. Do you want that? That's what he does. What's the response? Rise, have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus himself alone. Hear this. I hope I can communicate this the way I see it, the way I feel it. If you allow yourself to be led, if you allow yourself to have your perspective of him transfigured to the Almighty, if you allow yourself to live a life that says with passion, pick me. If you go through the overshadowing, if you go through the interruption, if you deal with the fear, and he's called you and then he comes to you, in the midst of that fear, see, the situation didn't change. The things that would scare you, they are still there. But your response is what changes. Because in the same area, they're still on the ground. They now rise up and they see no fear, nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because all they see is Jesus. They don't see a challenge, they see Jesus. They don't see a shut door, they see Jesus. They don't see trouble, they see Jesus. See, in our biggest fear, in our moments of failure, if you are called, if he is yours, if you are his, you see nothing but Jesus. No fear. Joy. You want to live there? Do you want to go to the mountain and carry it with you? I do. I do. I've seen the other side of Christianity. I did not like it. I've lived a life of Christianity that says, I'll go to church when I want to go to church. I believe in all that stuff. I'm sure I'm saved. You know, I have pearly gates to see me whenever I'm dead. And you can live a good Christian life and, you know, have faith. You can do all those things. You will never see God's glory. You'll never see it. I have a passion for it. I don't want to live without it. My biggest fear, we just got finished writing some discipleship material for the guy that wrote Serendipity Bible. I don't know if you know that anyway. And one of the questions that we talked about was, what is your greatest fear? And I honestly can say that I wouldn't ever see God's glory. I don't know what I would do if I didn't get to participate in his kingdom. Because I've seen it. I don't want to sit anymore. I want to see his glory abound. And he wants you and you and you and you and you, every one of you, to be in the same spot. See, there's nothing, absolutely nothing special about me. And I know that. I got nothing. But I have passion for Jesus. Do you want him? I mean, not just, yeah, I want him. Do you want him? Do you have a passion for him? Do you want to see his glory? That's my question for you today. Now I'm going to pray, I'm going to close, and y'all are going to do whatever y'all do. I'm going to stand right here. If anybody wants somebody to help pray with them, I'm going to be here. I know what God can do in this place. I know what he can do with people like you. I hunger to have a group like this to plant with. Church plant with. I know what he can do with you. I think he's brought y'all together at a time like this to show you himself. And it's nothing special about what I'm saying, but he's asking you a question. Do you want me? Where's your passion? God, you're almighty and you're glorious. We don't deserve to be in the same universe with you, much less being in your same family. But you have deemed us worthy, and so therefore we stand and we exalt you in your presence. God, you're great. I don't know why you would choose us to use us, but you have. God, I pray for this people, your people, that you would call them to righteous living, that you would show them who you are, that you would transfigure their perspective of who you are so they see you as glorious. The sum of them, that you would interrupt their lives, that you would overshadow their work. God, that you would impress upon them how glorious you are, and that you would comfort them in the fear because they don't know where they're going. You're a great God. Thank you for allowing us to be your slaves. In Jesus' name I pray.